Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you to be able to gather, and we do thank you for rain, and we thank you for clear weather. We just thank you. Lord, help us to be more thankful. Lord, we are so blessed, so blessed. Guide us as we look at another situation in the Bible, and one which I know has application, as they all do, to each of us. And so may we hear from you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, before we go to prayer. Amen. Okay, we continue on with King Asa. Second Chronicles chapters. We're going to look at 15 and 16 today, and those two great verses there. One, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And then that other great verse in 16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, and so forth, as Asa was told. So I just want you to be thinking this morning what your level of spirituality is, what your level of faith is, what you are relying on these days, what you are leaning on these days, and then see if we can have some promptings from the scripture today as it would apply to us. So I thought that we would just begin by asking the Holy Spirit to fill our lives anew, that we would love what you love and do what you would have us to do, and breathe on us until your heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and endure. Till I'm wholly thine, and so shall I ever, never, sure, never die, but live with thee the perfect light of thine eternity. So, words on the top of the notes there. Breathe on me, O breath of God. So let us sing along, if you will. Well, last time in chapter 14, you remember that great supernatural deliverance by God of Judah from the million-man Ethiopian invasion. And we saw in verse 11 of chapter 14, in the face of the overwhelming odds against them with a million men and 300 chariots, of which Israel had none, Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord delivered them with a mighty victory, and in the face of this victory, I don't imagine that Asa could have been any other position other than saying, no matter what crisis ever comes along in life, I'll never forget this faithfulness of God. I'll always turn to Him, right? How many of us have been there? How many of us haven't done what we said we would do when we were at the top of the mountain? Well, there's a very significant thing in here now in chapter 15, because immediately after this great battle, or I don't know, it says now, I'm not sure immediately, but after the great battle, we see this prophet Azariah, with the Spirit of God coming upon him, went out to meet Asa, so he's apparently just kind of coming back from the battle, and he warns him. He says, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So at this point, I imagine Asa would have said, you know, what are you saying that for? There's no way that I'll ever forget to seek the Lord. But you know, God gives us warnings, all of us warnings. Why? Because we need them. He knows what's in our heart. And so when you get a warning, be careful not just to say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I mean, it applies to everybody else in this room. I mean, they all need to be warned, but not, you know, I'm really, really strong, or I'm really faithful, or I'm really whatever you want to put in there. And we see that pride is always right there under the surface, and it's the pride that gets us, you know, the pride that slays us, because pride blinds us to the pride we have. We don't recognize our pride. We go on now for about 10 years of, or at least a number of years, of Asa doing a whole bunch of good things. He gets another covenant for Judah, and they all sign it, and they all, under the penalty of death, if you didn't sign that, you were going to be put to death. So, I mean, he's legislating holiness, right? Although you can't do that, but he tried it. And it says, all Judah rejoiced, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Now, that would have been a great ceremony to be a, that commitment time would have been a great one to be a part of, wouldn't it? And can't you imagine that everybody there thought, yeah, this is the way it's always going to be. Now that we're turning to the Lord, man, we're going to have a great future, a great future. And even Asa did one other thing. He even removed the obscene image that his grandmother, being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Now, particularly in that culture, even more so than today, there was much more of an admiring and a holding in esteem previous generation. And to come against your grandmother, and look what he did to the image. He cut down her obscene image. He crushed it and burned it by the brook Kidron. So he didn't leave one bit of evidence of that image. That was a big thing. But he is, you know, he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. And so now we see there was no war for 20 years in the reign of Asa. What happens in 20 years? How strong is your faith over a 20-year period? Especially if it's not tested. Now, I'm sure his faith was tested somewhat, but now he's going to get a big test. Because in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, new king in Israel, northern kingdom, came up against Judah and built Ramah that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. So Ramah was just, it's about 5 miles north of Jerusalem, and that's one of the locations of the main north-south routes through Israel. And Baasha did not want Judah profiting from Israel, and also he didn't want the Israelites from the northern kingdom going down to Jerusalem to worship, right? So he puts in a sense, a traffic stop, if you will, big time, in Ramah, sealed off the border. He built in Ramah, so now he's it's a big problem, because this will cut off people from coming from Israel to Judah. Asa has a big problem. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to turn to the Lord? Going to pray? No! He's got other options now. He makes a very clever, devises a very clever plan himself to send Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, some money and make a treaty with him. Everybody was happy. The treaty worked. Baasha backed off and left a whole bunch of materials in Ramah. Judah took the materials and built a couple of cities with them. Wow, my, that plan was great. Everybody was happy, except God. God was dishonored. And the scripture seems to say that if he would have cried out to God in this situation, God would have delivered them. But he didn't. He didn't. So we see now that Hanani, the seer, came to Asa in chapter 16, verse 7, and said, because you have relied. It's a big word there. Put that word in your mind, underline it if you got a Bible. Relied. What are you relying on? Don't be so quick to say that, because that doesn't sound like an answer you thought about. Yeah, I'll rely on God all my life, just like Asa said he would rely on God, right? So he says, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and Lubim not a huge army with very much chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then he gives this great statement, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. And the context there basically is to eagerly show himself strong. He's not just kind of reluctantly showing, he's eagerly showing himself strong. He's looking throughout the whole land, throughout the whole world, to show himself strong, what? On evidence of faith. On the evidence of faith. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Where is your heart? What are you relying, or what will you rely on in times of great need? In this you have done foolishly, King Asa, is what he's saying. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Now, what a tremendous injustice has been done here. God has been dishonored, not just to the children of Israel who will have wars from now on, but to the whole world. You know, this is God's people. God has been blessing them, and now they're hiring mercenaries just like everybody else. So where are you right now in your walk? You've got other options now than you had when you first came to the Lord, more than likely. And when we have other options, we tend to turn to them first, unfortunately. Whether you've got millions in the bank or whether you've got $50 in a cookie jar, if you've got a $45 problem that comes up that's really serious, what do you do first? You probably go to the cookie jar and get the money and take care of it, right? Or you make a couple of phone calls, and the problem is solved. Be careful. Be careful. What are you relying on? What are you relying on? And king after king after king, instance after instance after instance in the scripture, we see people start well, they finish poorly. Start well, finish poorly. So what I would like for us to do this morning as we think of this lesson of Asa, just look at our spiritual, what we think in our mind. Where am I spiritually? Compare that to the highest spiritual level you can ever remember having, maybe 25 years ago or maybe yesterday or whenever it was. But, well, yesterday's kind of near term. But in the past. And do you see yourself at that same level? I'm sure Asa saw himself at that same spiritual level. Oh, I remember the victory back there, and I'm always going to rely on the Lord. I bet that's what he thought. But he didn't do it. He didn't realize where he was. Because now he's got other options. Make a peace treaty. Send some money. I got some money now. Send the money. Make a treaty. Call the enemy off. Great idea. But he forgot God, and he dishonored God to this point. God wanted to bless. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. And when we deny him that honor of blessing us by taking matters into our own hands, it doesn't make him happy. And it brings disaster on us, right? Because the pride. You do it because of pride. And the Bible says what? A haughty spirit goes before a fall, and pride comes before destruction. So it's the pride issue. So we need to think now, where am I compared to where I was? How is my spirituality? And be careful and not make a quick comment to yourself that, oh, I'm in good shape. Maybe you are. But your spirituality today and yesterday and last week is much more important than what it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, or whatever it was ago when you, oh, I went to the tent and man, I was bringing people to the Lord right and left then, and I'm just as spiritual now as I was then. Maybe. Maybe not. So this is where Asa fell. Now notice his response in verse 10 after Hanani tells him this. Asa was angry with Hanani and put him in prison. Boy, what a turn of a humble, holy king to now putting in prison godly people when they give him the word from the Lord. But do you know, angry Christians can be ugly, really ugly. Maybe they're disappointed, maybe they forgot or whatever, who God is. But they can do some terrible things, can't they? And he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this, and he oppressed some of the people at that time, probably those who were kind of siding with Hanani, saying, yeah, king, he's right. Now, in addition to seeing he's ignoring God at the national level, he's going to ignore God at the personal level. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord. So he's like this mad Christian who says, I don't care if my feet can fall off. I'm not going to turn to the Lord, or whatever he thought. I don't know. Can't read it in his mind. But he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Again, options, options, options. What are your options? How quickly do you go to the Lord? Or is the Lord kind of like at the bottom of the list? Well, I try the internet, I try the doctors, I try the pills, I try the injections, I try the blah, 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 all the way. And finally, if none of those work, then I guess I better pray. How many of us do that? I think we all do that to a degree. And so here's Asa. He dies. It says he rested with his fathers. They buried him in a tomb which he made for himself in the city of David. And it says there were very great burnings for him. Don't think that's cremation, because they never cremated anybody, but I think they burned a lot of incense and stuff for him. So here's really where we are before we go to prayer. We have God's great deliverance of Israel, when just really on Israel, particularly led by the king, would turn to him and pray and seek his face. A million-man army. They had less than half of that. They didn't have any chariots, and God delivered them and gave them all these gifts, right? All this spoil. But now, years later, he relies on his arm of flesh, as so many do, because he has a lot of other options. So be careful. And it's time to kind of just take inventory where you are this morning, I think, or where I am anyway. On where am I, and what am I relying on? What am I relying on? Maybe I'll call 10 people that I really admire their prayers and say, pray for me. That's good, but don't do that until you've sought the Lord yourself. Don't do that instead of seeking the Lord. Or don't do anything instead of seeking the Lord, right? I mean, at least that's not bad, having prayed for you. Because you can do other things. You can make peace treaties with the enemy, right? We don't want to do that. We want to rely on the Lord. Father, we thank you for the study. We thank you for the examples that apply to each of your children, including us. And Lord, help us to seek you. We know we will find you if we seek for you with all our heart. And Lord, we know if we demonstrate faith, you see it. Your eyes run to and fro the whole world to show yourself strong on those whose hearts are loyal to you. Oh, Lord, help us to be obedient, to receive your blessing and not the curses, Lord. It all depends on us. It doesn't depend on you. You are faithful. You are always faithful. We are the ones who are unfaithful. So help us. Help us to pray this morning, Lord, as we would be prompted by your Spirit now, in Jesus' name. Father, we do thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the warnings you give us out of your love. And we thank you for your blessings, Lord. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And help us to go from here today as instruments of your love, as instruments of light, as instruments of salt, Lord. And may your will be done in each of our lives, Lord. And we thank you for meeting us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.